This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Tito Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Bojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And Andy C. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Omega, as always, leading the way into the show. And with me tonight, we are a little short, but we do have Mace.
Yes, you have me here.
And we do have Spug.
Chris is going to catch scabies from Lita.
That's impossible. She doesn't have a dick.
Stranger things have happened.
Unfortunately, yes. We are absent one Tim Stein at the moment, though he will be joining us, hopefully, sometime during this evening. And until then, it's just the crew from OTL, so how about we just talk geek stuff and forget the whole wrestling thing?
You mean we're going to talk geek stuff tonight like we don't on Wednesdays?
Exactly, yeah, and we'll bring up wrestling on OTL.
Maybe we'll have a better show tonight than we did on Wednesday.
God, don't remind me.
I hope that one's lost from the archives and doesn't show up ever again.
Yeah, don't ever bother writing up anything for the site for that. Just let it go.
Just let it be lost to the whims of the internet. Oh, shit. We do have something to touch on, though, before we get started.
Yeah. Just before the show, the question came up. No Tim, who gets to take lead here? And everyone pointed to me, and I think it's because of this rather dubious honor that I now have to go through. We've done this way too often, and unfortunately, we have to do this again. August 27th, unfortunately. Gertrude Bachan, otherwise known as Luna, was found dead in her mother's house. Guys, it seems like we've gone through this so often.
No, I don't want Gert toes. I'm doing something rather serious at the moment. Hold on.
Yeah, like you said, Omega, this is something that we've done way too often, especially, it seems now it's starting to get more recent. We only had Lance Cade, what, a week ago?
A week ago, exactly. Exactly a week ago.
And now we got Luna, who practically was one of the toughest bitches in wrestling. One of the ones that actually paved the way for many women's wrestlers the world over. And she's gone before 50, I believe. I believe she's in her mid-40s.
Yeah, she's 48 when she passed away.
Here's...
Hello?
Welcome to Mr. Rock Radio. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Josh.
Josh?
This is Josh. Yeah, from Smyrna, Georgia.
Josh?
Yeah, hello.
Well, speak your piece.
Speak my piece. All right, man. I don't know if it's true. I just wanted to make sure. I know Luna passed away August 27th, but is it true that Umaga passed away too?
Umaga passed away months ago, dude.
Yeah, he's been gone a while now.
All right. That was drugs too, wasn't it?
Let's not
use the phrase two yet. No cause for Luna's death announced right now. There's nothing.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say, man, that it's sad that all these wrestlers to die at 48 is still to die young to me. But I think it's sad that these guys go so early, man. Like, they got so much more left in them. Like, you see football players and basketball players live a hell of a lot longer. But I mean, it's like we can't do anything about it. I'm a fan. I've always been a fan, and it's sad to see it. Like, the whole Chris Benoit thing, man, broke my heart. But, I mean, it feels like there's nothing you can do about it.
I think one of the rigors of this is that a lot of pro athletes retire a lot earlier than wrestlers do, and wrestling can a lot of times be far more physical than a pro sport.
That's what I try to tell people. Wrestlers don't get off seasons. Wrestlers don't just wrestle on the weekend.
This is true, but here's the thing. This is what makes wrestling so much different than any other sport is. And Rowdy Piper said it best in one of his interviews. You're off the plane on Monday night or Monday. You go to the arena. You do the show. Well, then you got to get back on the plane. You fly to the next town, and you're there. You're there Tuesday, Wednesday, relaxing, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you got more shows, and then you're back on the plane again. So you're taking all kinds of uppers and downers and things like that to get yourself ready.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. I think I don't want to make it sound like an excuse, but it's not like these guys are just taking it. I mean, I'm sure they take it when they have a good time, you know, they might drink some beers and pop some pills, but it's like they got to take up muscle relaxers just to get over getting body slammed last night. You got to get up and you can't call out if you're a wrestler.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, Josh. We got to let you go. We got other people calling in.
All right, man. Take it easy.
You have a good night.
All right.
And that was Josh from Georgia. I guess we got another call on the line. Caller, go ahead. Who is this?
Okay, apparently he's having audio trouble.
Apparently, let him go and call back in. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was going to say, look, Luna Vachon was scary, and she came from a very prolific wrestling family. You had Mad Dog Vachon, you had Butcher Vachon, and Luna. And while Luna's look certainly was intimidating, I've read many a story and interview on where she was an absolute sweetheart.
Oh yeah, I've heard the same thing, but you really have to hand it. Luna, oh my god. You think female wrestlers in the 80s, and Luna's the only one that will come to mind first. It's because she was out there. She was one of the strongest personalities in the WWE, male or female.
Yeah, she understood what a gimmick meant and how to play it up that it got the attention that it requires in front of a crowd. And that's why she is so memorable.
Hmm. All right. Do we want to try a caller again?
We can try.
Well, right.
There he is.
But let's not forget there was another wrestling death on the 27th, father of Matt Bourne, known as Doink the Clown, former wrestler Tough Tony Bourne, passed away that day too at the age of 84. I really don't know much about Tony Bourne, but it happened again.
Okay, that's it. I'm putting a big notion out there to every wrestler. Wrap yourselves in bubble wrap. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do nothing. That's it.
Stop. Well, at least Tony Bourne was at the age where he could have died. I mean, he was 84. But
yeah. To be fair, at that age, you know, it wasn't a hazard of the business per se. I mean, he seemed to live quite a long life. Where, you know, you get cut down at 48, that is young to die.
Indeed it is. And what is unfortunate about it is it's almost become passé and expected. But and the thing with Luna though is that she had been out of the business for a long time. I mean, she was working as a tow truck driver in Tampa, right? I mean, she was down there by you.
Her official retirement was December 5th, 2007. So she hasn't been out of it for that long.
Well, see, the last time she worked with WWE was in early 2000. And she'd been touring the indies, but that doesn't mean you're going to make an extreme living out of touring the indies.
Right. Yeah.
The funny thing about it is, Luna's house, where she lives actually burnt down last week.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. Luna's did not have a lot of luck. I mean, her house burned down. That's all of her wrestling memorabilia too. So, you know, even her own legacy, she was kind of cut off from.
Whoa. I don't know if I can confirm this or not, but Mickie James is saying on her Twitter that Matt Bourne committed suicide over his father's death. Or not on her Twitter, on her Facebook. Wait, the legit
what?
Mickie James. Yes.
Matt Bourne?
Yes, a.k.a. Doink the Clown, son of
Tough
Tony Bourne. The original Boink, not Steve Lombardozzi or whatever his name is.
Lombardi.
Okay, now that's
the Lombardi.
Lombardi.
Sorry.
It's not that hard, Tony.
Sorry. Jesus.
Yeah, see, now that's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's unconfirmed at this point, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Mickey is saying that on her Facebook, so. I haven't seen it on any wrestling websites, but.
Oh, geez.
You never know.
Yeah, I'd take the quote-unquote legitimacy of that particular Facebook page to be a load of shit.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm currently going through other media and nothing. So
I haven't been able to find nothing either. I thought I'd just throw that out because it was kind of interesting.
Until there's like some official word or something, let's not throw speculation out there because Eric Bischoff got duped by a Hulk Hogan account recently.
He did. Eric,
yeah, that was kind of funny.
Ready? Say rest.
Rest.
In.
Peace.
Luna Vachon.
Luna Vachon will miss you.
Aww.
There.
So sweet, Spuggus.
It's so much nicer than the usual vial you have her saying for your amusement.
That kid's not that bad. I teach her to say other things.
Uh-oh.
I got her to do the DX crotch job at some old lady at the mall the other day.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Tony.
Yeah,
appreciate
I'll talk
it.
To you guys later.
We're going to boot you out.
Peace. All
right, I think it's only appropriate that we do this now, gentlemen.
Yeah, this is about time.
Rock. Would everyone please honor us with a moment of silence for the passing of Luna Vachon?
Yeah. Very, very somber note. It's sort of hard to get a show going when we open with stuff like this.
Yeah, I sincerely hope we do not have to hear those 10 bells for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Unfortunately, in this business, it's going to happen sooner rather than later when we want.
But I tell you what, just to sort of brighten the mood slightly, I tell you what, the one person we'll never hear those 10 bells for, Bobby the Brain Heenan, because that guy's a tough motherfucker. He's gone through so much shit, and he's still kicking.
All right, how about this, guys? How about we take a quick commercial break? We'll clear the air a little bit, and when we come back, it's back to business as usual.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. You are listening to WTR Sunday Night. Stay tuned. We're going to get into the news right after this.
And Natty's titties.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey everyone! This is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio. Which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Mace with an announcement from the head of the Wild Talk Radio Network. With the goal in mind to keep ratings as high as they are with DJ Tim Stein and DJ Sir Rocket, the Wild Talk Radio Network hereby releases Maverick and Nick from the network. Just kidding, guys. This is the Wild Talk Radio Network, where friends get together to have fun and make fun of Mav.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
You're coming up with reasons. Good God, you're dragging it out. Good God, it's the changing of the seasons. It feels so right. So follow me.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. It's news time.
Yay.
Is there a news article about Natty's titties in there?
I'm sure you'll find a way to make it about Natty's titties.
Natty's titties.
I don't know about Natty's titties, but I tell you this, after watching Impact, I reckon Velvet Sky's had her stun again. They were looking exceptionally round and perky this week.
You're paying that close attention.
Supposedly it's just me and Will.
But you find suitable competition for Natty's titties.
Exactly.
Is that possible?
Could be. We don't know.
I hear silence. That is a confirmation.
Well, I was waiting for Spunk to jump in, but...
Yeah. I'm reading something that makes me sad.
Oh, no. What?
Oh, Rock said Natty's on... Damn it, Rock! I was going to do that. I was going to make the Natty's titties Twitter.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. You'd have a bunch of Canadian followers. The silence is Spug weighing the good and bad here.
Anyway, supposedly we have news?
We have news.
Uh-huh. Well, we've got one more injury to go through. Apparently, Skip Sheffield busted something recently. Though, you wouldn't have known it. Meh.
I'm taking the official Mace stance on this of meh, who cares? It's Skip Sheffield. He was the walking penis of the Nexus group.
But the fact was, he is another part of that Nexus group, and they just shed one member, and now they're going to be short one more. The talk right now in WWE is that the Nexus angle might be done as soon as October, despite how strong it's been for them so far.
That's because WWE likes to shit on things that work.
Well,
WTR, caller, who the hell is this, and what the hell do you want?
This is Big Cock Johnson, man. What's going on?
Big Cock Johnson.
Big Cock Johnson, man. I'm going to speak on the wrestling internet.
If you could come up with a better name, we would allow you to speak, sir.
Man, it's a kid, man. They call me the kid, man. I'm from Marietta, Georgia. What's up?
Oh, we just had somebody from Georgia calling. Continue.
Yeah. What's going on tonight? Where y'all at?
We're all over the globe. You tell us what's going on. You're the one who called into us. You obviously have a point on something, so go ahead. Speak it.
I want to speak on this wrestling nonsense, man. What's up with all these wrestlers dying these days? What's that shit all about?
It's the natural order of things. It's called the circle of life. Didn't you watch The Lion King?
Yeah, I watched it back in my, 96?
I guess.
Something like that. I think it's just the nature of the business. It's really hard on the body between traveling, wrestling through every day and just what you have to do on a daily basis just to keep yourself going.
Man, them wrestlers got issues, man. I was a big Lex Luger fan back in the day. Look at him now. He's moving like a damn crackhead. I seen him not too long ago.
That's what steroids does to the body.
I feel bad, man. He's living like a trailer. All kind of stuff, man. He's a crackhead now, man. That was my hero, though, man. But it sucks for Luna that passed away here over this weekend, man. I feel bad.
I really don't think Luger is a crackhead, but...
He's some meth head, I'm sorry. Well, white folks don't do crack, they do meth. But,
atrophy. It's called atrophy of the body, steroids. But thank you for calling, sir. We appreciate it.
All right, man. I'm logged in, man. I'm going to play. I'm going to be calling more often, getting in as a kid from Marietta, Georgia.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Wow.
Did we get some sort of exclusive contract with Georgia or something?
Yeah, no kidding. This is what happens when we're Canadian free.
Ah, so that's what it is. We get rid of the Canadian and all the Americans chime in.
We get rid of the Canadian, we get all the Americans that show up that prove the Canadian's point. Can't we get some intellectual American callers call in, please?
Aww, Spug.
We've had Josh from Atlanta, we've had Goosey and Boomhauer.
That ain't right. You're supposed to be, those are the fans, you're supposed to be nice to them.
They were nice enough to call in. We should be nice enough to respond to them.
I was nice enough to respond.
Yeah, I suppose you responded Rock, in the usual spug way.
And Rock was right. It is Wrestle Talk Radio tonight. I suppose we should thank the Crocketts for having their friends call in.
Jeez.
I'm going to get us sued.
Good Lord. Okay, in all seriousness, we've got... We're still down one Triple H from Raw, and now the Nexus angle is going to go up in smoke way before he's going to be ready to come back. What the hell is WWE supposed to do with its flagship show if it kills off its only, like, actual heel menace in the company right now?
What are they going to do? I mean...
It doesn't matter. It's going to become the John Cena 2-hour special.
Dude, they don't really have a heel group. They have Wade Barrett and a Ginger Kid.
True, everybody else is either injured or getting kicked out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, well, you've only got five left now. I mean, what, we'd start with, what, eight?
Something
yeah,
like
started
that.
With eight, and Daniel Bryan's not there anymore. And then, who the hell got kicked out? Buckwheat got kicked out.
Yeah. Rock says the name is Darren Young.
Buckwheat got kicked out. And now
Skip Sheffield's busted.
Yeah.
Now out of this whole mess, you might get Wade Barrett as some kind of credible heel. Certainly not world title heel.
He's a world title heel. He's
we'll
a world
see.
Title heel. Dude,
we'll
he's
see.
Got a
we'll
British,
see.
He's got a British accent and he works for an American company. If there's one thing the Americans hate more than the Canadians, it's the British.
Yes, because you know, Douglas Williams' current X Division title run is putting him over so well.
Well, it is traditional WWE formula. I mean, you look at Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov, you know. When in doubt, make the bad guy foreign. And we've got one more caller. Welcome to WTR. Who is this?
Hey, guys, it's Jersey.
Hi.
You get the intelligent wrestling fan on now.
No, we actually get a wrestling fan on that we can understand what the hell they're saying.
What's going on, guys?
You tell us.
Actually, I was just at a WWE house show last night, and we were trying to start a Wendy's chat for Heath Slater, but it wasn't working out too well. We tried.
Oh, poor Ginger Kid.
Yeah, it was funny though. We had a good time. It was like the main event was of course like Jericho, or as I call him, Jericho. Cena and Daniel Bryan versus Tonga, Slater and the incredibly gay kid with the haircut, Justin Gabriel.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest's boyfriend.
Yeah, that guy. God, dude. His hair looks horrible.
Dude, look at pictures of Ryan Seacrest from the first season of American Idol and look at pictures of that Justin Gabriel kid. Just saying.
It cracked me up. And then, of course, you know, Team Cena won and everyone was like, and then Wade Barrett showed up and tried to beat the crap out of him. Jericho left. Because he was fighting over who was the team captain. He got his ass kicked.
Oh, naturally.
Yeah. He tried to attack Cena. Cena threw him over the ropes. Cena got the win, I think, on David Otunga.
Cena got the win? No.
Yeah, no. And then it became like a clusterfuck and everyone started attacking everyone else.
Jeez, yeah. It's always great to send everyone home after a big confusing melee.
I was trying to get in the ring. I was trying to show Cena my sign that said it was my birthday. Please sing to me, and he wasn't doing anything. I was pissed. I was like, let me in the ring.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Now,
let's see, the one caller you're nice to.
It's because he knows me.
That's because when we're in Atlanta for WrestleMania, she's gonna come visit me in my hotel room.
You ain't getting nothing.
Sorry,
I'll come visit you, but you ain't getting shit done.
That's all right. Spug will be busy with Natty's titties.
Exactly.
Speaking of Natalya, I saw her. I saw her at the show yesterday.
Did she actually wrestle?
No, she knocked the shit out of what's her name?
Tamika or whatever.
Yeah, Tamika. Yeah. But yeah,
Snooker's biological experiment.
But I did want to ask you a question, guys.
Okay.
What do you guys not that question. What did you guys think about Serena being let go due to a drinking problem that she wasn't getting a hint?
Yeah, for those unaware, they have officially acknowledged Serena's gone and someone's choking to death.
You okay?
Spug, go drink some Jaeger, it'll be alright.
Fucking pork rinds.
Don't choke on us, Spug.
Poor Spug. Dead from pigskin.
Does anybody around here eat pork rinds except for me?
Yeah.
I don't even think we have any.
You know the ones that you get, the barbecue ones, and then all the you get the one at the bottom that's got all the fucking spices on it?
Uh-huh.
I got that one in a handful of regular ones. And it caught me a little off guard.
Anyway, we're saying something about Serena?
Yes. Please continue.
Well, her question was what we thought of it since she's officially recognized as fired now.
I don't particularly care either way, to be quite honest.
Aren't you you're great at this, but
go ahead and continue. I don't care.
It's kind of unfortunate for the Straight Edge Society to lose one of its members when it's one of the only things that SmackDown has going on regularly, especially because apparently this whole thing with Serena, you know, being caught at a bar when she's supposed to be straight edge, was supposed to send a message to her, which I don't know how you send a message to someone with a pretend sketch at a bar. And it is pro wrestling. I mean, this is where they can make you, you know, if you're a guy, you might have to go out there wrestling in a dress one night. You know, you don't take a whole lot of stuff seriously, no matter what they ask you to do. I know, so I mean, sucks for her. I mean, WWE, I think I mentioned this just the other week, is that when they have someone with a problem, they dump them off rather than deal with the problem. So if Serena's having a bit of an alcohol problem, well, I hope she gets fixed up and comes back, you know.
Well, they didn't seem to dump off Tiffany yet, even though she beat up her husband.
Yeah, it's all right to cause domestic abuse, but drinking, no, that's a bad thing.
And
I don't think it's so much the drinking as it was meant to be a violation of her gimmick. She wasn't portraying the gimmick properly outside of the arena and everything. It's double standards.
It's so weird though, because like, I mean, she did shave her head. She was willing to shave her head for it. Yet, you know, they did nothing with her. Other than manager, I mean, from what I heard, she's a really good wrestler.
Well, yeah, you're a female wrestler.
The same thing with Gene Snitsky. He had his teeth yellowed, and, like, right afterwards, they fired him. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, you got your teeth yellowed, bye. So here's your walking papers.
Yeah, but the thing with Serena, though, was they were only just now starting to get her on as a wrestler, getting her in the ring and getting her working. But it just seems one of those things of double standards. You know, some wrestlers can get away with doing whatever the hell they want because they're the popular ones. They're the ones bringing in the money. But the ones that are still working to the point where they're wrestling on TV weekly, they're the ones that are getting fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, seriously, if, to be honest, they could have caught CM Punk out there doing, you know, smoking a fucking joint and drinking straight from a keg of beer and they wouldn't have touched him. But, you know, Serena, somebody who, and this is what annoys the shit out of me, she volunteered in order to get the contract with the company to shave her fucking head. I don't care what you say, you know, I've had long hair, you know, Omega's one of our long hair hippie friends, you know, many female friends who have long hair. You tell them, yeah, shave it, they'll tell you to go fuck themselves. You know, to make that type of sacrifice just to get in the company.
Yeah.
Shows a lot more loyalty than, oh my god, you're drinking when you're supposed to be straight edge outside of the ring.
Yeah. See, that's the big problem I have with it. I mean, I can understand, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They're playing a character on TV. They shouldn't have to, you know, they shouldn't be forced to live the gimmick, especially when it starts interfering with their lifestyle. I mean, apparently this wasn't something that was interfering with her work. It wasn't something that was, you know, she wasn't coming in like Scott Hall one night. You know, this wasn't affecting her professionally at all. They just wanted her to, okay, you're in the straight edge society, you can't do this and this and this and this and this and this. And that's horribly unfair to her.
Especially when you see, like, other wrestlers going out doing the exact same thing, even though they're not a part of that angle, they're still doing it, and they're like, oh, yeah, but you can't do it.
Meanwhile,
you got people like Cena and, like, Hornswoggle and, like, other divas going out to drink and then, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah, right now, Joey Mercury's, you know, sipping a sip of beer from his hotel room under the blanket with the lights off and the door locked.
Yeah, but I just want to.
Are you sure
quickly.
That's a beer?
I just want to quickly
the lights are
address
off.
Something
know.
With one of our chat room listeners, of course, one of the random news streamers who decides to have balls. Well, then again, you don't put a name in, so we can't directly address you. Okay, I was asked to provide some sort of proof of double standards. This one has been proven in the past. There was a clothing violation put on some wrestlers due to the fact that WWE wanted most wrestlers, or I think it was all wrestlers, to come out in suits when they're not wrestling, except for John Cena and The Undertaker, who got away with whatever the fuck they wanted. Everybody else has to follow the dress code. There's your proof, retard.
Well, technically, like, I saw one day they had John Cena on TMZ, and they actually had him coming out in a, like, I guess he chose to wear a suit, and he was coming out in a suit out of the airport, like, fully dressed, gray suit. So, I mean, I guess it's all up to them, but according to the gimmick. So, I mean, you wouldn't see Undertaker walking in a airport with a suit on. That was just, like, weird.
Speak! Say it!
And a mouthful of cinnamon roll. Well, we've had a lot of callers tonight, and if you would like to call into the show, the number is 877-588-9877. Remember, it is option 3. Or if you're on Skype, the name to call is Sir Rockin'.
Does that mean I'm getting kicked off the show?
Yes.
Alright.
Yeah, we have to move on, sorry.
Alright, okay, bye guys.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
These phone lines are lighting up tonight.
Indeed. Thank you for calling in, though, Jersey Girl.
So, just... Where do we leave off? We're not living the gimmick anymore. We did have here's the problem. Tim is usually the one that comes up with some kind of format and schedule and keeps track of all of this. I have not prepared anything because I wasn't aware until like 2 minutes before the show that I'd be at the helm here. So I'm going by the convenient notes that Rock is making for me on the spot. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it is confirmed. We have official acknowledgement. Cena knows that he is Superman.
He knows that he is Superman.
He has confirmed it. In an interview, he actually states, "I play a superhuman on WWE television." Direct quote. Just for context, this is about is the telephone interview for his upcoming movie Legendary. And he does admit, okay, in WWE and in 12 Rounds and in The Marine, he plays a superhuman. And, well, I'm kind of glad even he realizes that.
Did you read the whole quote? Read the whole quote.
Should I read it out loud?
Yes.
Okay, let's see here. I played damn near 12 Rounds and The Marine. Cena, 33, told the Herald in a recent telephone interview. Then I read the script to Legendary. I've been around sports all my life. I've been coached. I have coached. And I have brothers. I think everybody has been through some family dissension. There's a lot of stuff in there I could hold on to, so I didn't feel out of my element. And once again, we have a call. Welcome to WTR. Who is this? Ah!
Yo, this is your boy Danny from Salt Lake, Utah.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Yo, what happened? Hey, man. I got to ask you something.
Ask it.
Alright. Do you remember when Macho Man, Randy Savage, and the Hulk
Elizabeth, right? Huh? Question for you.
What?
Because of your shitty cell phone, this is a question for you. Does this sound like us hanging up on you?
It's not, it's a Metro PCS, man.
Oh, Spog.
I can't understand a word he was saying. Could you?
Something about Macho and Hulk, and then you cut him off.
Couldn't understand a word he said. Call back on a landline. It's a free call. We're paying for it.
Sheesh. We'll be lucky if we have any listeners at all by the time this night's out.
Well, supposedly we have no one.
Well, Jersey Girl's going to be the only person, because that's the only one to escape the wrath of the Spug.
That's because she's going to give me head at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, sure. All right, moving on, since Cena being a superhuman on TV is kind of like saying the sun came up this evening. Okay, this evening. I'm losing my mind. The Night of Champions main event is announced. It is the WWE six-pack challenge. Let's see, who all is in this one again? We have Orton. It's Edge, Barrett, Orton, Jericho, Cena, and Sheamus. You know, this is going to be the second pay-per-view in a row where all of our top carders on WWE Raw have been completely piled up on top of one single match. And I think we were all in agreement that the last pay-per-view kind of suffered from that. So are we looking at round two?
Go ahead, Miss.
I really don't have any comment on this. I don't really care for it, to be honest. Six-pack challenge is one gigantic clusterfuck. Meh.
You in the meh again.
Yeah. And that goes copyright to my friend Jen, by the way. I didn't create it, despite what Alan says.
I don't know. I find it discouraging that most of your thoughts these days seem to be meh.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting run down on wrestling.
It's an amusing stock answer, though.
It is an amusing stock answer.
No, this honestly concerns me. I mean, this seems like this is going to be the second pay-per-view in a row where it seems like a stunt on WWE's part to cram as many top talent into their one main event as possible.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a stunt. Think of this. Every title is on the line at this pay-per-view. So you're probably going to see Undertaker and Kane for the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, that's pretty much a sure thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much a surefire thing. So you're going to have the six-pack challenge. You're going to have Kane versus Undertaker. You're going to have Miz versus Bryan Danielson. You're going to have you're going to have the New Heart Foundation with the toy belts versus whomever, probably the Usos. And then you're going to have, I hope they unify the women's title all together with the Divas Championship, because they don't have enough to have two belts anymore. So you're probably going to have Melina versus Lay Cool in some sort of triple threat or handicap match.
Handicap match seems more likely.
So, I mean, you have all that. You have to do something to draw star power to the show, because other than that, you really don't have a whole hell of a lot. I mean, think of it that way.
Well, that's not the point. I mean, it's not the fact that the star power in the show is just, I don't know. Personally, I don't see the logic of putting all of your best talents in one.
Hey, shut up.
Whoa! No, no.
Whoa, shut up.
This is you're on our show, man.
This is our show.
No, this is my idea. I came up with this and y'all took it.
You came up with the idea of
Wrestle Talk
Radio?
Right now. Don't even worry about it, man. I got my lawyers on it. You guys are not getting away with this.
Rock.
Do you think it's a joke?
Be rid of this.
If we could, my God, can we block that number? Look, you come on. Look, we open up the phone line so you guys can get your thoughts and opinions in. We want to hear from you guys. But if you're going to come in here and join in on the show, do not be a jackass. That's Spug's job.
I do it quite well, thank you.
Only need one asshole on this show at a time. Anyway, before I was very rudely interrupted, when they're already struggling in the pay-per-view markets, I don't see the idea of condensing all of your best talents into a single match when they could be working for you better over two or three matches. And I'm also going to remind everyone, this is a six-pack challenge just before another pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell, where we're going to cram six top talents into the same match again.
Wait, they're doing a six-man Hell in a Cell again?
It's Hell in a Cell, so SmackDown and Raw are both going to have okay.
So the chamber, the difference.
Scratch that. I'm getting myself confused. This is not the night for me to be in charge, apparently, because I keep getting my words mixed up. I don't know. My point still stands, though. I'm not happy when they cram all their guys into a single match. It seems to bring down the rest of the pay-per-view.
I understand your point, but I will make this counterpoint. Are you going to allow Randy Orton, John Cena, Chris Jericho, and Edge to sit at home and do nothing for a pay-per-view while your main event for Raw is Sheamus and Wade Barrett?
No, absolutely not.
See?
But I wouldn't cram them all into one single match when I could actually hold an entire pay-per-view around that group.
What are you going to do with them, though?
Sheesh. I don't have the magic ink pen right now.
Well, you have the magic... Here is the magic ink pen. Fix this card.
Well, right now we can only presume what the card is because there's only one match officially booked.
Presuming... Assuming that the card is as stated.
You see, I'm looking at the six-pack challenge alone right now. I mean, we've seen Cena and Sheamus. We've seen Orton and Sheamus. Honestly, I look at the cast in the main event of WWE Raw right now, and honestly, it's there's something in me that goes, okay, maybe it's time to turn someone. Because we're heel-heavy right now, and there's guys like Edge and Jericho that have been in that role a long time now. And it's really starting to stunt how many match possibilities you can have. You know, because I wouldn't mind seeing Sheamus against Edge or Jericho in a feud, but they can't do that right now, because that's just not the way things are aligned. I mean, there's possibilities here, but WWE has stacked themselves in a way where they can't have them. Now, even if Nexus breaks up, you're still going to have Wade Barrett, who alone is going to come out into the top card of the WWE from all this, and he's a heel too. And, you know, honestly, if I was going to turn anyone, it'd probably be Edge, because he only had 1 month as a face when he first came back from injury, and he played a heel for years before and still going on as a heel. And here's the scary thing. Edge right now as a heel is less interesting than when he was a heel with, like, Vicky Guerrero. Because right now, he isn't the schemer. He isn't the ultimate opportunist. He's just there, doing jack-all. If anyone needs something different to do right now, it's him. See, there's part of me is tempted to say Jericho. There was a part of me tempted to go Jericho, just because I love Jericho as a face. But if he's allowed... Well, number one, he's probably going to take another hiatus soon, and... Jericho, if you let him go, just let him do his own thing, he makes an amazing heel character.
I also think he could make an amazing face.
Well, I think he has before, and he really hasn't been in the world title picture as a face before. I mean, his Undisputed run came right in the middle of one of his bigger heel runs.
Well, here's the thing with Jericho. He would make a great face, and the problem with the WWE right now is I can count the main faces on one hand.
Let me guess, Cena, you count on your middle finger.
Cena, Triple H, Daniel Bryan, him who is awesome and shall be named whatever the fuck he wants to be named. Rey Mysterio and Undertaker.
And see, I wouldn't even call Daniel Bryan that. I mean, yes, he's been huge in the Indies and ROH, but you got to remember, even compared to the other Nexus guys, he has not been around WWE much at all. And he's right. You forgot Orton as a face right now. Who's probably the most over face right now.
I don't count Orton as a face.
Despite him being the most popular one on TV at the moment.
Austin for the longest time was the most popular character on television. And towards the beginning of his reign, as the most popular character in the WWE, he was still a heel. The only reason he got over was because he feuded with the Harts and Vince McMahon.
And now you've got this guy. Now you've got Orton, who is feuding with Sheamus and the Nexus.
Uh-huh. Look.
He's the anti-hero. I mean, he's doing the same thing he was doing as a heel, but he's getting popped for it now. That's the hard way to get over, and he's done it pretty damn well. And silence again. This is where you come back or usually just call me a moron.
I don't count him as a face. I don't. Towards the end of Austin's run, he was a true face. Orton's not there yet. I tell you what. Why don't we go to break? It is the top of the hour.
All right. I like that idea.
When we come back, we will recollect ourselves, and we will have the latest WTR roundtable. Ready for these words from our sponsors on Wild Talk Radio.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make Steve turn blue? I don't want Steve turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing. But there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seemed that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. So he was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
This is Mace with an announcement from the head of the Wild Talk Radio Network. With the goal in mind to keep ratings as high as they are with DJ Tim Stein and DJ Sir Rockin', the Wild Talk Radio Network hereby releases Maverick and Nick from the network. Just kidding, guys. This is the Wild Talk Radio Network, where friends get together to have fun and make fun of Mav. Hey, you. Yeah, you. The one tuned in to wildtalkradio.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into this fine program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Here she comes again, like good medicine. Every step she takes, my blood is flowing. Her legs go on and on for days. Got a hold on me, I need the remedy. Just to hold her would be a cure for me. I can't keep going on this way.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I believe it is now time for the next edition of the WTR Roundtable.
I don't think we have music for that yet.
I'm just waiting for everyone to, like, come to attention. Just making sure everyone got back from the bathroom or the kitchen or wherever.
Okay, well then, Mr. Show Leader, what's the round table for today?
Rock gets to ask the question.
I assume he put it in the little backstage chat here for a reason.
Yeah, because usually it's Tim who asks the question.
Yeah, right. Tonight on the round table, the debate is, why have the major companies' title belts become props for storylines instead of being the end result of getting a wrestler over? So basically the change in behavior with how the belts are treated.
I think it's sort of a change with the times type deal. Like, the emphasis isn't so much on the belts. It's more on the characters and the gimmicks and getting people to buy merchandise. The belts are pretty much there to say, you know, congratulations, your character has gotten over so much that we feel like putting you in as the head character of the show.
Oh, see, I don't even think it's that. I mean, because you've got things like, Jack Swagger just won the world title or the heavyweight title over on his show, and that was more or less for a storyline shock. That wasn't in gratitude or anything for him, because he's back to basically doing nothing in the mid-card.
True, that blows my one out of the water. Damn you, Omega!
God, fucking logic.
Yeah, goddammit.
I think a lot of it has to do with mostly how the writers see the belts these days, because I think we've all come to grips with the fact that the writers are absolute shit these days.
There's
a difference in attitudes between wanting the belt because it is the belt and you would be the champion versus wanting that belt because it proves that you are the best. And there's very few wrestlers these days where it's kind of very few wrestlers that actually acknowledge a value of the belt other than it means I'm the champion and I get paid the most. I mean, we had a whole, like, in my head, I've been kind of discussing WWE, but to pull an example from TNA, they had this big in-ring promo with, like, Hogan, RVD, I think AJ was in there. I mean, it's this big mess where all they were talking about was, you're the champion, you got the money, you got the big paycheck, that's why everyone wants the belt, and this one's go, no!
Randy Orton is not a face. He's not a face.
He is too a face.
What's wrong? Why don't you guys like me?
Because you just interrupted me for the second goddamn time.
Because maybe if the radio show didn't suck, I wouldn't have to call in because you suck.
Get the fuck off of my air.
Damn.
Omega's getting mad.
Yeah, when Omega gets pissed off, you know you've done something wrong.
You guys
Omega
know
doesn't
me
get
I'm mad.
Omega doesn't get mad very often. And I know how to push his buttons, but I don't. Because he's like a firecracker enclosed in your hand.
So, as you were saying, the title being used as a storyline prop?
I was saying that we just got done in TNA talking where they ran for like a 10-15 minutes talking about the belt means you get money and that's why everyone wants the belt. And it's like, no, that shouldn't be the motivation for a single person.
Oh, here's the deal, though. Think about it. Think about this. Back in the days of the NWA, there was one world championship. When the end of, when the, it's not that, I mean, it was only 40 years ago. It's not that long ago. But if you look at, the way it was back then, you had the National Wrestling Alliance. They had the 9-member board in which selected the world champion. And that was the recognized world champion all over the world. Not just in the United States. The world's heavyweight champion went to Brazil, Japan, Europe, went all over the world and wrestled. And everybody recognized him as the champion. You think about it today, you have the WWE heavyweight champion, the TNA heavyweight champion, the ROH heavyweight champion, the New Japan heavyweight champion, the I get fucked in my ass by Lita with Big Harry Cock, Trish Stratus, World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, you've all these world heavyweight championships. You know, it's to the point now where there's too many titles. It would almost be better served to simplify it a little bit more. I personally don't think WWE needs as many titles as they have because one, they don't have the roster to support it, and two, with most of the titles, they don't do anything with.
You do have a point. Well, to be fair, they have eliminated a lot of, like, between the two brands, yeah, there are a lot of belts going on right now in the WWE, but, you know, we don't have, like, the hardcore and European champions running around at the same time as well. I mean, we've unified the tag belts, even though they barely ever do anything with that fact. We've got, two Diva champions, two mid-card, two heavyweight. But since the two never intersect, that's basically you're running with only two real belts per show that are consistently on those shows. And not much else going on with the rest. You're right. They very rarely know what the hell they're doing with them.
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head before, Omega, that it's gone from, you know, back in the days of the NWA, you used to have all the promoters get together and decide as a collective unit who would be the guy to represent the wrestling business, the entire scope of wrestling around the world. Whereas today, you've got half a dozen writers sitting in a studio in Connecticut going, yeah, we need to get this guy over, do this, that, and the other. Yeah, it's gone from, I think it's just the way the dynamic has changed. You've gone from a bunch of promoters trying to get the business to be better to a bunch of writers who don't know what they're doing, just putting belts on people because they think it'll help them.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let me ask everybody, including Rock, when I say heavyweight champion, What's the one word that comes to mind? We'll start with Omega.
One word that comes to mind. Best.
All right, Mace.
That's the thing. I don't think of one word. I think of a name. I think the name Ric Flair.
No. I'm not. I don't mean wrestler.
I know. But the thing is, the first thing that pops into my head when you say World Heavyweight Champion is Ric Flair.
All right.
Yeah, and again, that could go. That could. Can you let me finish, please?
Yes, but I'm trying to simplify this for you.
Okay, fine.
One word that describes the World Heavyweight Championship. How's that?
Again, Omega's already said it best.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with mine as respect. I mean, you think about it. When you think of the world, and you are right to a point, Mace, when you think of World Heavyweight Championship, you think of Ric Flair. He was the man. And the one thing that he garnered all over the world for his achievements was respect. And I think that's something that's lost from the title picture now. When Sheamus wins the title, he's not respected for doing it. When John Cena wins the title, he's not respected for doing it. I think the only person in recent memory that will be able to say to be respected for winning the title or winning a title is Bryan Danielson, because people actually respect his wrestling ability.
Yeah. I think also a big part of this, just the treatment of the belts, it does have to come back to the writing, and just you got a lot of people booking matches based not on who's the best wrestler, who represents us best, who's going to give us the best main event on any night that we need him to. It's more or less based on marketing. It's the bean counters going, okay, who's selling merchandise the most? You know, or someone in the back going, well, who would it be shot? You know, who would it not be expected to give the belt to? Which is like how Sheamus wins the belt, because it was just a total shock moment that WWE felt like throwing in that day. And the belts turn into, from the reward and the showing that we are trusting you to run with the company and to represent us, and it turns into an easy way of booking a feud. You know, when a title belt's involved, you know, you just know one guy has the belt, another guy wants the belt. There doesn't have to be any reason other than that for these two to actually start wrestling each other. And it's an extremely lazy way of booking a feud, and which is why they go back to it over and over again. You know, instead of being a reward, it's a means to an end, which is the definition of a prop in this business.
Unfortunately, the last time I can remember a belt being used respectfully, and also a belt being used as a reward, is two instances. Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor and Rob Van Dam with the ECW TV title. Guys that had the belt, defended it regularly, respected the title, respected the past of the title, respected their opponents. And that actually made the belts mean something, whereas today, like it's already been said, they're a prop, pure and simple.
Yeah, especially with the RVD title reign lasting almost 2 years. I mean, even if it is the mid-card belt, to put a title on someone that long is as Spug put, it's a sign of respect that, you know, at the very least, a respect from the company, from the people in charge, knowing that this is someone who can hold this for that long and it's not going to be a mistake. I miss that. I honestly can't remember the last time in the WWE where the belt was actually, where the belt itself carried weight and wasn't just some way of getting two guys to get into a fight.
I can remember one belt, and it's not very long ago. I mean, just a little over 10 years ago, the Intercontinental belt.
See, I think being the mid-card belt kind of keeps that one under the radar enough to where there is some actual storyline involved when they're feuding over that. You know, because the world title is the top title. There's, you know, of course everyone wants that. But if you're actually going to target the mid-card, if you're targeting the IC belt, there needs to be a bit of reasoning behind it, which does generate storyline. That's my thought, anyway. Don't jump in all at once, you know.
Well, I think we've kind of beat this horse dead.
Yeah. You know, the sad thing is the last time I could really remember any title belt actually being worth something is when Hulk Hogan held it in WCW as Hollywood. As awful as we claim some of the booking was in WCW, they knew what the hell to do with the world title. Because the way they booked that was whoever held the gold held the power in the company. And, you know, that was how, that's how the NWO stayed on top, was because they had this big gold belt, you know, that made them more important than anyone else. And you tuned in, when that belt finally left Hogan, it had a ton of value behind it because there was so much meaning put into it.
All right, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get into it right now, while you and me and Mace are here?
Uh-huh.
Why don't we get into the great debate?
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
WrestleTalk Radio goes down south to find the all-time greatest WCW champion.
What are you going to do when the power of all these Hulkamaniacs and Hulk Hogan runs wild on you? What are you going to do?
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
All right.
So who is the great debate this week?
It's the finals this week.
Really? Already?
Yes. I do believe it is the finals.
No, because I don't remember Rock is saying Ric Flair versus Sting.
Yeah, it's the finals.
Okay.
It is the finals. Because we had the semifinals last week.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't here for that. Who did Hogan get in?
Hogan got beat by Sting, I believe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. This is what happens when I leave for a week. You guys just don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Really? We don't know what we're talking about?
I didn't claim I did either. But I wouldn't have knocked Hogan out of the semifinals on this one. At least not for Sting.
It doesn't really matter, Omega. Even if you did say Hogan, Sting still would have gone in. And it was like 1-3 or something.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, dude.
I expect you guys to have known better than this.
Yeah, Hogan got beaten like a ginger kid.
He deserved it.
You guys know nothing.
We know nothing? Well, prove it to us, buddy. It's Flair versus Sting for the ultimate prize in WCW. Your turn. Go.
But this one is but there's no debating here. It has to be Ric Flair. Mace said it himself. When you think world championship, you think Ric Flair. And it's obvious that WCW did the same thing. I mean, any time that belt needed to be on someone, someone credible, they ended up dropping it onto Flair because they knew he was a champion. There's no point where Flair does not make a convincing world champion. I mean, there's no end of praise. You really can't. 8 championship reigns in the history of WCW. And, you know, a lot of those came, you know, just because, okay, someone was leaving, someone got injured, you know, generally you don't think of much of a championship reign where he's just taking over for someone who otherwise can't do it. But when it's Flair who gets that role so often, you know it's because there's a reason. And the reason is, you know, being the dirtiest player in the game, being such a good heel, being such a good wrestler, such a good personality, he did everything for that belt. You know, and he's old school. He knows the weight of that belt. He carried it well. And every championship reign he had meant something. He was that championship belt. So I think that is one for Flair.
That is one for Flair. All right, Mace?
I really hate to say it, but yeah, I was originally planning to go Sting in this, and then I actually went and checked some facts and read over title wins and all that stuff, and I'm still going to go Sting. frankly, you know, Flair, the name Ric Flair seems to go really well with World Champion. However, when you think Ric Flair and World Champion, you think NWA title, back when the belts meant a shitload to the wrestling business. When you think WCW champion franchise, Sting. Just in terms of WCW, Sting seemed to be the bigger world champion of the two. If you look overall, yes, Ric Flair, but we're narrowing it down to WCW, not overall the business. So, in terms of WCW, I'm going with Sting.
I, as well, am going to vote Sting. And for this reason only. When you think of WCW, and more importantly, the WCW Heavyweight Championship, the one man who put it over and put whoever needed to be put over at the time was Flair. And when Flair put Sting over multiple times, he established Sting as the next guy. He had faith in Sting, and he did everything he could to ensure Sting was the next man in WCW. So it is with Flair's blessing that Sting took over that role and relished in it. So, for me, the ultimate WCW champion is not Ric Flair, it's Sting.
So there we go. Considering the fact that there's only three of us on here.
Yeah, it's a pretty thin great debate tonight.
Yeah. That's alright. That's alright. Next week's great debate, I came up with.
Oh, God. Can we just say, okay, I'll get a lot of this out of the way and we'll just say Natty has the best rack.
Actually, no, you'll be surprised. We'll get into describing the next great debate next, along with Raw's 900th episode and everybody's favorite segment, Quick Hits. We'll be right back after this.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be simple. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're one.
wondering, this is what happens when the sinful queen of WTR, Cindy Sin, from Dial's CB Radio.
You've got mail.
Wait, hold on. I'm getting a message here from the law offices of Birnbaum, Rosenberg, and Stein. Okay. Our client, Miss Cindy Sin, has requested all audio of her recent appearance on a previous edition of CB Radio be removed from the archives. Okay, if you don't comply with this request, my client has instructed us to take further actions against yourself, the CB Radio program, and the Wild Talk Radio Network. Well, damn it, I guess that means we can't finish this commercial. Unless, hey, Tim, do you know of any good Jewish lawyers? Well, I don't think I can repeat those words he just said on air. Let's just say he wasn't too happy with me calling him a Jew. Guess that means I need to find my own lawyer. Because, well, this is what happens when Cindy drunk dials CB Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm way too drunk for anything, but we're walking back to the bar so we can go to an after party right now. I'm drunk. She's shushing me. She's drinking while we're walking. Yeah, I'm drunk. She's not. I'm sober, unfortunately. Don't push me to the bush. Something about a bush?
What?
I love your bush. I don't have a bush. I shave today. Skirt, and I shave absolutely everything, and I'm not wearing panties tonight. Wow, you overshare your drunk with people on the... Are you kidding? I share like this on my show.
It's a better dream. It's a better dreams.
Having a harder time walking sober than I am drunk. There's something wrong.
There's something wrong with that.
I'm done drinking for the night for now anyway. I had 8 beers, 2 double rum and cokes, and then whatever the hell else we had there. We had shooters. 4 shots of tequila and then an apple pie shot. Yeah, I'm a little out of it.
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
We're having a blast. It started out as coffee, then it moved to drinking, and then it moved to the bar. No. It started out as coffee, then it turned into stripping, then it turned into drinking, then it turned into the bar. Yeah, there, sorry, I stand corrected.
Hell yeah.
Tune in Saturday nights, midnight-ish, Eastern, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm in so much trouble now.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
This is professional wrestler R.J. Brewer from Phoenix, Arizona, and more specifically with Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. And if you speak English and you understand what I'm saying, you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, let's get it out.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. I believe this will probably wrap it up for the night. We might actually make the normal 2 hours that we're supposed to be making.
We're getting there. We're getting close. All right. By the way, that is my favorite. That's my favorite Raw theme.
Yeah, I kind of got attached to that one.
Better than the crap we're hearing nowadays.
Yeah, the Raw theme we've got now is one of the most overused songs I've heard in a long time.
I fucking hate Nickelback. All right. Way back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a band that came out called KMFDM. You know what those initials stood for?
What?
Kill Motherfucking Depeche Mode. I would like to start a new band. KMFNB.
Aww.
Kill Motherfucking Nickelback. Please, someone do me that favor.
All right, shall we briefly mention the story that Mace has brought up in our private chat?
Sure, why not?
Go for it.
I'm not asking you. Of course you want to. According to reports, a brawl broke out amongst fans at today's Raw live event in Newark, New Jersey, over a t-shirt John Cena had thrown to the crowd just before a steel cage match with Sheamus. According to a fan who witnessed the incident, the melee lasted approximately 15 minutes before Prudential Center staff broke it up. The correspondent also noted that over 10 people were ejected from the arena and some children were hurt during the brawl.
So that's how kid-friendly WWE is.
Oh yeah, apparently so. There's more blood in the crowd than there is in the ring.
Just over a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know. God, it's $15 at the vendor when you leave. Jeez.
Mind you, 15 minutes before the staff broke it up? Isn't that long, the John Cena match?
Yeah, Okay, so the match outside the ring lasted longer than the one inside the ring. Got it. I mean, I can understand. You know, like, okay, I understand. It's the one that came off of his back. You can still smell the Cena sweat on it. Fine.
Ew.
I thought you were about to say semen. I was like, wait, what?
I don't know what the man does to get ready for a match.
Obviously, Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel do.
Oh, that's a cheap shot.
Do you expect anything less?
God. You see, if this kind of fanaticism is going to go on, you know, maybe Cena just, like, maybe don't throw the shirt into the crowd. You know, unless someone's going to throw it back.
One night
stand.
That's fucking hilarious.
That's still one of my favorite moments. If you want to give the shirt to a fan, okay, hop out of the ring, hand it to a fan, buy off your fans like Bret Hart did. You know, but don't throw it to the crowd and make a melee out of it. Well.
Yep.
Alright, gentlemen. Apparently tomorrow night is Raw's 900th episode. Good lord, have we honestly been watching this show that long?
Yeah. 900 episodes, supposedly.
I can't remember any show on TV these days that I've watched 9 episodes of.
Wait, I was going to bring up the joke of Chuck Norris Combat Commandos, but no, that was only 5 episodes.
Karate Commandos is only 5. That's for another show.
Hold on, 9 episodes. WSX! Hey, I'm correct. It was only 9 episodes.
No, but that is tremendous. I mean, Raw being what originally a 1 hour and now 2 hour show, you know, with the occasional 3 hour thrown in. Think of how much archive footage of that show exists. I mean, 900 episodes is one thing, but when the average show is 30 minutes long, technically 30 minutes long, and you're dealing with a 2 hour show, you know, that's 4 times. I mean, good Lord. That is a lot of show over the years.
Yeah. So definitely a lot of shows, and the amount of wrestlers and storylines and footage that could be seen is absolutely, completely out there. But the thing is, there's got to be somebody out there, and I can tell you this, there will be somebody out there that has every single episode on, like, VHS or DVD or something.
Oh, I have no doubt. And apparently, WWE is getting ready to release the whole thing.
No, I think that... Wasn't it just the best of, quote-unquote, Season 1?
It's Season... Well, you can get Season 1 and 2. 1993 and 1994 on DVD. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if that thing sells, that they'll keep doing it.
God. I think I'm going to have to hire that and have a watch just to go back and see the very first Raw episode to see how much it's changed over the years.
Yeah, I think I did that once upon a time. I mean, just the size of the crowd is just unbelievable.
That would have been back in the days where they were pretty much, I hate to use the terminology, doing Raw out of a bingo hall in New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago. Maybe about a year or so. I went back and watched the first episode of Raw, and it looks like the Impact Center. It's that small of a crowd.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, we're supposed to be talking about our memories of Raw over the years. To be honest, the two memories that stick out in my mind aren't even WWE moments. They're ECW moments. It's the initial ECW invasion just before ECW did their first ever pay-per-view, where they came in and you had, you know, Sabu jumping off the R, which everybody remembers. You had the BWO guys popping up. You had Heyman basically jumping over the table to have a go at Jerry the King Lawler. You know, that I remember. And also, you know, Tommy Dreamer coming into the ring at Raw many years later when they kicked off the Alliance angle. You know, those are the bits I remember. Which is very weird, because I'm remembering other promotions coming into Raw rather than Raw itself.
Well, I can counter that with the opposite as one of my favorite memories from Raw, and that was the DX invasion of WCW. Taking a gun-mounted Jeep down to Atlanta, Georgia, and fucking around Ted Turner's offices.
Yeah, again, it's another promotion that you're remembering something that happened on Raw. And by the way, I did get some sort of confirmation that they originally used the Manhattan Center, a.k.a. the Hammerstein Ballroom. Didn't ECW use that place at one point?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
So, Spug.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up. What are some of your favorite moments from Raw's history?
WrestleMania 14, the week before WrestleMania, they were doing their march to Boston and stopped in Cleveland for Monday Night Raw. And it was the Monday night, or there might have actually been a couple of weeks before WrestleMania, but still. They were in Cleveland for a Raw, and they were on their march to WrestleMania, and it was the night that Undertaker came back and announced that he would face Kane at WrestleMania. And it was during Lent, and... it was during Lent, and he was... our family is religious, and so we're Lutheran, and so we give up something for Lent. And my mom decided that as a family that year, we were going to give up cable TV. And, of course, Raw is on USA. And SmackDown wasn't around yet, and so I had no way to watch wrestling at my house. And it was a Monday night, and everybody was in bed, and I ran into my living room and turned on Raw and was sneaking watching Raw so that I could see Undertaker. And remember watching Undertaker came back, and I jumped up and let out this big yell in my living room, because when the lightning bolt hit the casket and Undertaker was standing there, and freaked out. My mom came downstairs. She goes, "What is all this?" And I got yelled at for breaking our Lenten promise, and the, but I was all happy because Undertaker came back. And then one of my other favorite Raw moments happened not too long ago, a couple of years ago, when the Shane McMahon Vince McMahon DX feud was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean was in, they were in Cleveland, and Triple H and the rest of the McMahons were with Stephanie while she had her baby. And Sean did the little skit where he called Vince from the middle of the ring.
Yes.
And that was pretty humorous. And then the week later, when they were all back, and Sean and Triple H walked out, and they were showing the pictures of Vince and Shane, and Sean goes, "He really was born with a silver spoon in his mouth." And then they show the picture of Triple H's baby, and it's, you know, the picture, it's got Triple H's face, and they're standing up, they turn around and stare at the screen, and Sean goes, "I wonder who the father could be," and he starts patting Triple H's shoulder.
Sort of another one that sort of pops into my head now that I'm thinking about, especially when, like, comparing and doing backstage stuff. A couple of quick promos come to mind. One is during the Invasion, you had The Rock and Jericho on the stage. Stephanie and Rhino were in the ring. And they were talking about, I think it was, I can't remember if it was The Rock or Jericho. I can't remember who said it. Probably Jericho, who said, "Daddy's little princess has really grown in some places over the past year." Sort of reference
in two specific places, at least.
Yeah.
That was Jericho.
That was Jericho. And of course, The Rock following that up a little bit later with Silver Spoon Motherfucker live on air. They barely got the cut right on that.
Rock, that's one of my favorite promos ever. And it pisses me off because I cannot find it on YouTube anymore. But you put Rock and Jericho on the mic at the same time, and whatever happened was absolute gold. I mean, those two could play off of each other so well.
Well, hell, they introduced Jericho by having him interrupt The Rock.
And that
from the
was,
get-go, that was brilliant.
That was one of the moments I was going to bring up, because that's something I miss. I mean, when you had two huge promotions that were neck and neck, I mean, you could have someone coming in like that. I mean, especially when contracts weren't as concrete as they are now, or when there was no internet to tell you, well, he's already signed with the other company. I mean, when one guy jumped ship, it was a huge deal. And of course, it's not like bringing, it's not like bringing like a Sheamus or a Wade Barrett, who was a big deal in the indie scene where they're from, but they're nothing in the WWE. It's no build up needed. Everyone knows who this is, and it's a big deal to see them on a completely different stage. And that intro for Jericho, just with the Millennium Countdown and interrupting The Rock, is just, oh my god. There was no bigger introduction for someone new in the WWE than that. And it's something that you can't get anymore the way the industry is now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Since we don't have sort of that excitement that we had back in the day, those type of moments that we absolutely loved are near impossible to replicate. Yeah, it was always one of these things where you never knew who to watch on a Monday night, because Raw would pull something out of their asses that was brilliant, WCW would counter, and then Raw would counter, WCW would counter, and it just made for exciting television.
And, yeah, until WCW spoils the results of Raw and loses most of their audience.
Yeah, that was stupid. But yeah, I'm just trying to think of other moments that. Actually, I do remember one, and unfortunately, it does involve something. Probably one of the more watched Raw episodes that I can remember was the Owen Hart tribute special. It was the first time that a major company not only acknowledged the death of a worker, but took an entire show set aside for the guys to just break character, destroy kayfabe, and just talk about their friend.
To devote the entire show to him, no storyline needed, no feuding needed. It was amazing, especially in a wrestling industry, especially at a time when everything was still closed off from public viewing. You didn't know what happened backstage. You didn't know, it was still possible to believe that this was real somehow. And to completely throw all that out the window, even today when it's still so closely guarded, even though it's transparent as hell, and that alone just showed how much respect everyone had for Owen and how much he really deserved that tribute.
Yeah, and it wasn't until the death of Eddie Guerrero that we never got another episode like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Eddie tribute's a big deal for me, too.
The one point with the Owen thing, though, is that they couldn't ignore it. It was something that happened live on pay-per-view. It was something that stopped the show, and you can't fit kayfabe a death from falling 65 feet.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, otherwise, it is the elephant in the ring. You do have to acknowledge it somehow.
You do. But I tell you what my number one favorite Raw moment of all time is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's me, so it involves Triple H.
Naturally.
But I believe the date was January 4th, 2001? 2002? I think, when Triple H made his re-debut after being out with the quad tear at Madison Square Garden, and that building went effing nuts. They had the wide shot at the entrance, and the opening chords of the game by Motorhead hit, and then you saw the sign that said start game, and it was just amazing.
See, it was January 7th, 2002.
I was off by 3 days.
Well, you're a Triple H, Mark, so close enough.
But, I mean, I can't think of any other really debuts or re-debuts other than maybe Stone Cold that got that kind of pop at the time. I mean, that was just phenomenal.
I know that this one didn't really, that wasn't really a pop moment, but a moment we never thought we'd see was Eric Bischoff walking out at Raw, walking down to the ring, and shaking hands and embracing Vince McMahon on Raw. You know, for a guy who so adamantly opposed the WWF at the time and everything that they were doing, to see him walk down to the ring and do that is another big moment in Raw's history, whether they'll acknowledge it or not.
Yeah, that was too.
Yeah. But of course, we've had funny moments. You know, we had the debut of Mr. of Socko via a Mick Foley skit with what was the name of the clown he used in that skit? Trying to cheer Vince McMahon up in hospital. Yerpool.
Yerpool
the clown. Yeah, and then there's of course the Mick Foley and Rock classic, This Is Your Life.
Now, you see, more so than the debut of Socko, I like the follow-up segment where Austin whacked McMahon with a bedpan.
It doesn't always have to be somber memories. It doesn't always have to be memories of, oh my god, this happened. There have been funny moments. Pretty much any time Mick Foley was the quote-unquote commissioner. Yeah, those segments were hilarious. Edge and Christian coming down with the 5-second pose. Yeah. So it does show that as much as Raw is meant to be a wrestling show, they do entertain us, even though we do bitch about it quite often.
We bitch about it because we love it and we want it. We want better of it.
Very true.
And Rock has reminded me of McMahon wetting himself on national television.
Does McMahon kiss my ass club?
I don't want to be reminded of that.
True, it did end with McMahon going face first in the Rikishi's ass.
It's Big Show's.
Big Show's ass.
Somebody.
But either way, the McMahon kiss my ass club meant we were going to see lips on asses that should not have lips on them.
And who can forget hot lesbian action that never actually happened?
I can forget it.
Katie Vick?
Don't make me hurt you.
Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
You know, you could at least do something cliche with, like the Austin beer bash.
The Kurt Angle milk bath.
That was better.
Yes. Especially after he's come out with the hose, sprayed everybody down with milk. He gets up on the front of the truck with the two big freaking cartons of milk smashed together like Austin.
My favorite part of that whole segment is Stasiak trying to blindside Angle and bouncing off the hood of the milk van.
Hey, I got an even better idea. It's time to play a little game, gentlemen.
Oh. Yeah, so much for being out of here by midnight.
No. We're getting out of here in a few minutes, but it's time to play a little game. You know what the name of that little game is?
What?
Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some WrestleTalk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestleTalk Radio Quick Hits.
I guess this is where I have to step in and play host for now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I actually have to do work and play host, and I'll have fun stuff for quick hits.
Sorry.
We'll start with Omega. What do you think of the newest WWE superstar, Alberto Del Rio?
Honestly, I did not watch his match, so I have very little opinion of the guy. I think it's very ambitious to start him off the main eventing SmackDown with Rey Mysterio. So I'm going to assume they expect big things of him, but I need to see more before I can have any kind of opinion on him. I need to see anything of him before I can have an opinion on him.
I love how I start talking and Ustream decides to go, let's disconnect for a second. Anyway,
wonderful.
It should be back up. Anyhow, moving on. And there's the message from Alan off air. No, we're back on. So, Mace, why would it be better for Cena to keep chasing the belt?
It wouldn't be better for Cena to keep chasing the belt. Get Cena out of the title picture completely. I'm sick of seeing him either having the belt or chasing the belt. Give somebody else a chance to have the belt. Give somebody else a chance to chase the belt. I'm enjoying Randy Orton versus Sheamus for fuck's sake. Don't fuck around with it. Don't fuck around with it. I'm enjoying something different here.
Spug, what is it with the older wrestlers taking off their belts to fight?
In the case of Saggy Tits, Ric Flair, when he takes off his belt, he gains his wrestling ability back. So, he has to be able to take it off. And also, he kind of uses it like Scorpion's harpoon.
Mm-hmm.
He'll throw it out and wrap it around a younger wrestler's neck and pull him over because he is geriatric, and it takes him a few minutes to get across the ring.
Nice.
How wide is his belt again?
Anyway, Mace, well, with tonight being the Emmy Awards, give everyone on the show an award.
Spug would get biggest asshole, obviously. Omega would get the most. Well, actually, Omega would be the ticking time bomb award. Rock would be the man who does the most work for the least amount of praise.
So true.
Tim Steiner would get, well, Douglas Mann. Maverick would get, world's biggest joke that nobody's heard of. Nick would get the person nobody remembers award. Cindy would get the, oh my god, there's boobs on this network award. And Will would get the guy who's drunk who's never here award. And that'll do.
You read that out loud, Omega.
Yeah, for those keeping track, Tim lost his perfect attendance award tonight.
Yeah, but he has a reason.
One day shy.
Spug, if you were to get Vince McMahon a birthday present, what would you get him?
I would get him the complete box set of the NWA, AWA, and old school WWF tapes and go, this is what you lost when you went public, you old fucking retard.
With a card. Doesn't he already own all those libraries?
With a card with Mick Foley's face on it and a big yellow smiley face that just said, have a nice day.
Good stuff. And, Mega, after watching Impact and seeing Orlando Jordan's entrance, have you ever rubbed a Transformer up and down your chest like he does?
Only that one time when it was funny. Because it's not funny after that anymore. I get legal letters now.
What do you guys think of that, anyhow, before we end the show?
Think of what? What the hell did I miss?
That was just wrong. Very, very wrong.
Explain this bug what happened.
Somehow fit his gimmicks.
Explain this bug what happened, Mace.
Basically, Orlando Jordan had a match against Samoa Joe this week on Impact. When he came down to the ring, he had a Samoa Joe action figure on a rope tied around his neck. And he would rub it up and down his body, almost, and then spreading its legs, and it was creepy, but it works for him. Because Orlando Jordan is fucking creepy!
It's a modern-day Goldust. Except when Goldust does it, it's an act.
Yeah. Poor SoCal Val. I feel so sorry for her getting molested by Orlando Jordan.
The one problem with Jordan, no one is safe.
Exactly.
Hold on. Before we close up, I would like to make an announcement. Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, you remember Mr. Johnny Cashmere, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's coming to the network with his own show.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's going to be a show about mind, body, and spirit.
Huh.
Yes.
Right.
Johnny Cashmere is coming to the Wild Talk Radio Network very, very soon.
Cool.
Excellent. Good announcement to have.
Yes. So all stay right. Tuned to the website and all that. No, Mace, no.
Wrong guy.
Yeah. So stay tuned to the website.
Hell out.
Stay tuned to the website for all the details and Facebook and all that fun stuff. Now, Spug, you can close out the show or Omega or someone.
Thank you all for listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. I'm the Spug guy, that's Omega, that's Mace, and then the guy you just heard is The Rock. We'll catch you next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Peace!
Thanks, assholes!
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.